You dirt. Good morning. What comes to your mind when you hear the word evil? Do you think of the doctors and staff of abortion clinics? Do you think of atheists who rally against God? Perhaps those who violently oppose every view but their own? Or maybe just those from other countries who murder and terrorize anyone who doesn't agree with their opinion? For some people, snakes are evil. For others, spiders are evil, or anything that they're afraid of. Maybe all of these answers are correct. Webster defines the word evil as morally reprehensible, sinful, and wicked. So this would rule out snakes and spiders and such as that, because they're not morally anything. However, they can still have evil characteristics. You look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34. He said, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak of good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." How can you, being evil, speak good things? The word evil is found in the Bible some 613 times in 569 verses. That's 481 times in the Old Testament and 132 times in the New Testament. You remember the tree that Adam and Eve were commanded not to eat of from Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17. It says, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." A tree with the knowledge of good and evil. The first time that evil is mentioned in the Bible is the actual time when God created this tree in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 9. Adam and Eve, as we know it, did in fact eat of that tree, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17, and their eyes were opened. We all know that evil exists. In fact, I would venture to say that we each have our own parameters, if you will, as to what, in our opinion, can be defined as evil. When I asked the question, when you hear the word evil, what comes to mind? There were different things that came to different people's minds. Some people may think one way and some another. One of the arguments of atheists is the fact that evil exists. In fact, the thought process goes like this. God, if God exists and He is a loving God, then He would want evil to stop. If God is all-powerful, then He would have the power to stop evil. Therefore, since evil still exists, God must not exist. So they believe that they have backed us into a corner and that we are faced with a quandary. In fact, when put the way I just presented it, some people, even Christians, may begin to reason like the atheists and start to think like them. Well, that makes sense. You know, why doesn't God do away with evil? But before we cross over that line, there are some things that must be considered. For instance, if God exists, who are we to say that He must do this or must do that? That He must wipe out evil? And we're just putting a lot of presumptions there. If He does not exist, the evil would be even more rampant, because we know that morality stems from God and is the only thing keeping us from barbarianism. Morality. The good people in the world that don't want to see bad happen. So let's ask the question, does God ever claim to exist in the Bible? Look at Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. "And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly." And some people say, well, that doesn't make any difference. If we don't believe in God in the first place, what claim does the Bible have over God? Did you catch that I am statement there? God did claim to be the Almighty, but that really doesn't have any bearing on the existence of evil if you don't believe in God. The fact that evil is all around us simply shows the absence of God. The fact that evil is around us shows the absence of God. And I don't mean that in the sense that God doesn't exist, but rather the absence of God in the sense that because man has removed God from most of our society. In fact, go to the places that do not accept God, and it's even more and more evil. Those who seem intrinsically evil are those who have no regard for God. And sad to say, many people cast their lot in with them just to follow the masses. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 2. If you will, look at Exodus chapter 23 and verse 2. Thou shalt not follow the multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. We may not join up in the evil actions of those of our society, but if we fail to take a stand against evil, how can we claim to be righteous? How can we allow the evil to go on and just close our eyes to it, blindside it? I need to put up a privacy fence so I can't see the evil that's going on next door. I need to put up a privacy fence so I can not see the evil that's going on across the street. We need to barricade ourselves in so that we can't see. We need to turn off the news so we don't know what's going on. Well, I kind of agree with that one a little bit, but we oftentimes want to stick our head in the sand so that we don't know about the evil that's going on around us when we need to be taking a stand for it and doing something about it. I don't think there's anything more evil than taking the life of an innocent child. I ask the question, what comes to your mind when you hear the word evil? You think about those people who are taking children's lives before they're born. You ever done something that you felt guilty about? And it started to eat on you, and it started to churn in your stomach, and you started having a hard time sleeping. Can you imagine how these people feel? After taking the life of an innocent child before it's born, and doing so in the name of choice. If you think the riots are bad, and if you you know they are, if you know the riots are bad, if you think that a convicted felon and criminal being senselessly killed by a bad police officer is tragic, and we know that it is. Consider this. According to Wikipedia 2014, and I use that statistic because the other statistics are sketchy because of reporting criteria, but according to Wikipedia in 2014, there were 2,636 reported abortions every day. Every day, 2,636 every day in America. That's just over 962,000 for the year. 962,000 lives extinguished. You want to know what evil is? That's it right there. However, when you consider that since reporting is not mandatory in some places, California, Maryland, it's not mandatory anywhere, those places like California, District of Columbia, Maryland, New Hampshire, they don't report it. They don't want to know. They don't want people to know. They want to go close their ears and they want to close their eyes. They want to stick their head in the sand so that nobody really knows how bad it is. Don't let us know how bad we are. Preaching to us smooth things. Talking to our ears things that we want to hear. But because of those places didn't report, I'm sure the numbers are much higher than 2,636 per day. Imagine the stench of America going up to God every day as these precious lives are being extinguished by an evil nation that claims to care about people's lives and stands up and claims all these lives matter from every angle. Black lives matter, white lives matter, every life matters. You hear it all. For a nation that claims that lives matter, we are killing our children at a rate of 2,636 per day. Life doesn't matter to these people. They're butchering our heritage. And we sit by and we let it happen. Does that make us evil too? Look at Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 and 14. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God. Jesus looked at these little children and he said, suffer them to come and do not stop them from coming to me. Let them come to me. Forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. We got a lot of little kids in this congregation. You see all those little kids running up the aisle a while ago? Jesus looked at them and said, don't stop that. Let them come. Let them come. I hear people come up to me and say, man, I'm sorry. This kid was out of control. I'm sorry you could hear it. Anything. Well, I couldn't. All I could hear was your kids screaming. And they were loud. And it didn't bother the preaching one bit. And it didn't bother the sermon one bit. And it didn't affect the gospel one bit, because they are here in the presence of God. Keep bringing your kids. Get them introduced to God now. Don't wait until they're old and the world has tainted them, corrupted them. Take a stand for the children, because they are our heritage and the world is massacring them as fast as they can produce them. Deuteronomy 27, verse 25. Do you think those people in those abortion clinics are getting paid for what they do? I'm sure they get a paycheck. Deuteronomy 27, 25 says, cursed be he that taketh reward to slay the innocent person. And all the people shall say amen. We hear the statistics and shake our heads in disgust. Wonder how such a civilized nation could commit such atrocities. We wonder how we have come so far technologically and remain so barbaric. Remember when Moses led the people out of Egyptian bondage? And we see what a victory they had. Moses goes in and he gets them and he brings them out. And they follow him and they're like, Moses, what are you doing? You're going to bring us out here to die in the wilderness? No, I'm going to take care of you. We have God on our side. God says, go and speak to the people. Let them hear my voice, and that way they'll know that I'm going to lead them out. And they did, and they said, Moses, you talk to God. We don't want to get in His presence. We don't want to cross Him. Moses goes up on the mountain to receive the commandments of God. And when he comes down, the people had made a golden calf and began to dance around it and to worship it. And we look at that and we think, what is wrong with these people? What were they thinking? They did a lot worse than that. That's the least of their problems. Look at Psalm 106. Verses 34 through 41. Psalm 106, verses 34 through 41. They had a problem. God told them to go in and destroy the nations that were there. Wipe them out. Push those people out. And then y'all live there without them. And it says in Psalm 106, verse 34, they did not destroy the nations concerning the Lord, or concerning whom the Lord had commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen, and learned their works, and they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against His people, insomuch that He abhorred His own inheritance, and gave them into the hand of the heathen. And they that hated them ruled over them. They became a stench. God's chosen people became a stench unto Him, because they were sacrificing their children. They were doing abominable acts. Whatever it is that the land does, we're going to soak it up. We want it. We want it. You fast forward up into the New Testament, and you find out that they're oppressed. They had all kinds of problems. If they would have just followed what did what God said, they'd have been blessed. God abhorred His own inheritance. What do you think he thinks of the good old U.S. of A.? We tend to think that we are such a great nation, but look at what's going on and look at what we're doing to our children. We've convinced the masses that to produce more than your own footprint is sinful or bad. If you have more than one child to replace your husband and one child to replace your wife, or one child for each spouse, two kids, you're good, you're done, stop. We're not changing the earth, we just keep on going. Convince the masses that that is the way that we should do it. And if you have more than that, get them aborted. That's a scary thought. I say that and we're thinking, why? We never think like that. We may not think like that, but the whole world has been thinking like that, and they've convinced Christians as well. Maybe not of the abortion part, but of you can't have any more because you're hurting the planet. You're hurting the planet. We're going to overpopulate. How much have we heard about overpopulation the last few months? What's up with that? Where is that coming from? It's been there forever. They're trying to convince you. Subliminal messages, all this stuff. It's selfish for you to have more kids than you and your spouse. More than two, you're selfish. That's what the world is telling you. If you have more than two children, one to replace you, one to replace your spouse, then you're somehow wrong. The majority of the people in this country now believe that. They believe that if we don't do our part by having more than two children, then we're crowding the planet, and that's hogwash. If you think I'm wrong, look around you. Look around. Everybody's got a reason. I'm not trying to get on some moms or for your choice or dads for your choice. We choose to have two kids. I myself only have two children. My wife had health issues with both children. We wanted five. We were going to have five. We decided we're going to stop at two because of health reasons. But there are people that the world is convinced that you can't do this. This is the best. How many times have you heard a little baby being born and somebody walks up to the mom and says, "You have the perfect family. You have a little girl, now you have a little boy. You have the perfect family." What makes that perfect? Show me in the Bible where that's perfect. I don't see it anywhere. I'm not saying that I don't have a perfect family because my children, I love them to death, and I think I do have a perfect family in that respect. But that doesn't just because don't let even these old ladies with good intentions, "Oh, you have a perfect family, now you can stop. Stop having kids." You ever hear somebody that doesn't like kids? Y'all need to stop that. Y'all need to stop that. Where are they coming from? The Bible tells us different. Some people stop. You ever think that some of those abortions are because people just don't feel like they can afford another kid? The world has convinced them, or because they believe they're going to be looked down upon. Jacob had 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of Israel. That didn't mention the daughters, just the 12 sons. I grew up in a family of four. I don't ever remember going to bed hungry. I don't ever remember not having something to wear. We always had something. I look back and I think we didn't have very much. I didn't know it. I didn't know. Today, if you have 12 kids, people make comments like, "Haven't they figured out what causes that? Haven't they figured out what causes that?" Yeah, that's why we got 12 kids. We figured it out. That's not funny. You've been duped. You've been duped. God created man and said, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." Genesis 1:28. Our children are our heritage. Listen to Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." And some people say, abortion is not evil. Do you not know that the same people that want population control are the ones that are pushing for abortion clinics to stay open? You ever wonder why our nation had a problem with this epidemic? Because they were trying to close down churches because we can't stay open. We're not an essential business. We can't stay open. The church can't stay open. It has to close. We're not essential. Abortion clinics, oh, those are essential. consider the logic of that and where it's coming from. It's pure evil, people. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." The leadership of this world is leading the country straight to hell, and we sit by and watch. The rulers of darkness of this world are pure evil, and they don't care if they destroy Christianity. In fact, they take pride in doing just that, because Christians are the only ones that stand for morality. We're the last stand for God Almighty. We're the only thing standing in the way of their evil agenda. Do we live in an evil world? There's no doubt. In fact, if you think of the most evil thing that you've ever heard of, there's probably many things much more evil than that which we're not even aware of, which we have never heard about. If the world can commit the heinous acts publicly and without shame that we see on the news every night, imagine the evil that's going on behind the scenes and behind closed doors. There is a cure, however. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The gospel is the cure for an evil world. But we got to get the gospel out there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verses 3 and 4. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them." I look at that verse and I think people look at that verse, they say, "See, God has blinded those people so that they won't be saved." No, it doesn't say that. Look at that passage again. It says, "The God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them." The God of this world is Satan, and he's blinded the eyes of the masses so that the glorious gospel cannot shine upon them. Much of the evil that we experience today is caused by those who are without God and without hope in this world. Before we became Christians, we may not have been causing chaos. We may not have been responsible for the evil. However, we were in the same category of those who are by allowing that. We were like the Gentiles mentioned in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. "That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off are made near by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." We as Gentiles were on the outside, but Jesus broke down the middle wall of partition and brought us in. Have we categorized ourselves with the evil of this world by allowing the atrocities to continue? God almost destroyed the planet once because of evil. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Only one family was found worthy to be spared." People, we aren't going to get another chance. Not like Noah and his family got. We've got to spread the gospel. Perhaps we can share the sentiments of the psalmist in Psalm 5, verses 4 through 12. Psalm 5, verses 4 through 12, and we'll close. Listen to what the psalmist has to say here. "For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing or lies. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. And there he takes a turn. He says, but as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with the tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless thy righteous, bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. We live in an evil world, but we don't have to fear. We don't have to fear evil because we know that God is with us. Now let me leave you with the 23rd Psalm, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The passages I looked up, all the passages on evil that are in the Bible, some of them say that someone was overcome with an evil. Some say overcome evil with good. Some say that this person was evil. Some say, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. As long as we stay on the right side with God, then we have no reason to fear evil. And we need to take a stand and fight against evil with good. If you have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or if you just need the prayers of the congregation, the time to come is now. While together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.